You are Locked On Angels, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, your 2018 Angels. Welcome to Locked On Angels.
Keep it locked.
Locked on.
We're locked on, sir.
Locked On Angels.
What's up, everybody? How's it going? My name's Patrick Zajac, your host of Locked On Angels, minor league play-by-play broadcaster and first row rider of the emotional sports roller coaster that is Angels baseball. Welcome in to your daily Angels update here on Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, LockedOnSports.com, your team every single day, LockedOnAngels.com, where you can find the main show page, get all updates regarding the podcast. Angels, over the weekend, dropped 2 out of 3 in the series to the Houston Astros. They dropped the game below 500 before Sunday's game before rebounding nicely with a nice offensive output to get back to 500. Still 10 games back of the Astros. Things still looking as bleak as ever. And what I want to discuss in the opening of today's show is just how far behind the Angels are in the Astros, not just this season, not just last season, but also for the foreseeable future. And I'm talking about 2019 and 2020 when the Angels are looking at contending. Then studs and duds of the weekend coming up as well today. Every Monday we'll go over some good performances, some not so great performances over the weekend. And then lastly, I want to get you guys a series preview. Angels taking on the White Sox for 4 games this week before a weekend series against the Seattle Mariners. All of these games at the Big A. And dare I say it, do the Angels need to have a 6-1 week in order to start making up ground on the Mariners if they have any semblance of a chance at the postseason, which I think we can all agree there's a semblance, sure. Likely, definitely not. But first, let's start off. I want to talk about this weekend series, and I want to talk about just how far it seems the Angels are behind the Houston Astros. You pretty much face the gauntlet of the Astros rotation, and with the exception of Gerrit Cole, the Angels missed Gerrit Cole in this series and still got thoroughly dominated. You got the performance from Dallas Keuchel on Friday night. He takes a no-hitter into the sixth inning, ends up just two-hitting the Angels, picking up his 8th win of the season. Then the Angels see Verlander. Of course, Verlander does Verlander things. He strikes out 11 hitters in 6 innings on his way to another victory, his 10th of the season. Then noted Angel killer. It seemed as if the sweep was set up for the Astros before the Angels were able to get to Lance McCullers in that start. But, man, outside of that bludgeoning offensive performance on Sunday, at no point did you really feel that the Angels were on the same playing field. And I'm speaking figuratively, not literally, because they were on the same playing field playing the games all weekend long. But, man, the Astros are just far and away the better team, far and away the best team in the American League West. That's taking into account the Seattle Mariners. And the problem is, it's going to be that way for the foreseeable future. I know we as Angel fans, right, we're all looking forward towards now 2019 and 2020, setting up a path to contention. But that path to contention solely rests in the wild card spot, in my opinion. And you look at the Houston Astros, right, the core of their team, Carlos Correa and Jose Altuve signed a new deal. He's under contract through 2024 with that new deal set to start in 2020. They're still paying him just $9 million a year this year and next year before that bumps up to $29 afterwards. Carlos Correa, after this season, he has 3 full years of team control and arbitration through 2021 before he becomes a free agent after that season. You better believe they're already working on his contract extension. Then where else can we move? Alex Bregman, third baseman. They get to pay him whatever they want to next season. He's under team control for 4 more years through 2022. That's your, and then George Springer, of course. George Springer has that 2-year, $24 million contract that he signed in this offseason just to get him a little more money while he's still under team control. Still under team control as well. Another arbitration year in 2020. Before he can become a free agent in 2021. The point being, the core of this lineup, under control still for the foreseeable future. Yuli Gurriel signed through 2020. Josh Reddick signed through 2020. And I know eventually they're going to have to pay big bucks to some of these guys, but in the meantime, these are very, very, very favorable deals in this sort of Mike Trout window for the Angels. They're supposed to contend. In the rotation, which I would argue is the best rotation in the American League this season, Justin Verlander signed for one more year in 2019. He's making $28 million in both of these two seasons, this year and next year. I think that number certainly goes down. He's also getting up there in age. Just how much more Verlander has in the tank, I think maybe a season or two ago, we didn't think anything. And now look at the numbers that he's putting up with the Astros. Dallas Keuchel is a big part of it because he becomes a free agent this offseason. I think all roads point to them re-signing Keuchel. I don't see why they wouldn't. He's come up through the organization and was their de facto ace atop the rotation before Justin Verlander arrived. Lance McCullers still under team control for three more years. And the big one is Gerrit Cole under team control for next season. I would imagine they're looking at the possible ways to extend him, though he is a Scott Boras client. So we'll see just what type of a deal that Boras gets. Boras, known for going to free agency, but Jose Altuve, he's a Boras client, and he got extended by the Astros, albeit at $29 million. They paid him handsomely. Nonetheless, you look around, and I've said it, I think, I don't know if I've said it on this podcast before, but I've said it over the past year and a half. This is the most enviable roster, I think, in all of baseball. There aren't any holes in this roster with the exception of the bullpen, but the bullpen, I feel like you could fix any given offseason. It's always the most plentiful of options at the trade deadline, albeit the price is high. But at the same time, Astros farm system still ranked in the top half of all of baseball. It's still producing quality talent like Derek Fisher, who's slowly coming through, and I think he's going to factor into their outfield picture for the foreseeable future as well. And where do you see the Angels fitting in? I mean, honestly, do you see them putting together a starting rotation that betters the Astros during this offseason with Tyler Skaggs and Andrew Heaney being the focal point? Surely having Shohei Ohtani healthy is going to be a big boost, but to compete with Verlander, Keuchel, Gerrit Cole, Lance McCullers, I don't think so. Not the pedigree there, and certainly not the innings pitched there. The health concerns, of course, abound. And I'm going to be on pins and needles every time Shohei Ohtani takes a mound for the foreseeable future. You better believe that. And then position player-wise, yeah, Angels have some nice pieces. Mike Trout, Justin Upton, no doubt. But moving forward, what lineup that the Angels can throw together that can compete with that? I mean, Cole Calhoun, his struggles are well documented from this season, starting to pick it up, but I think he's starting to level out back towards his averages now after a nice little 2 or 3 week stretch. Andrelton Simmons, yeah, he's shown improvement, but struggling in the two spot as of late. I don't know. I just don't know. There are options out there in free agency, but are the Angels going to be big players? I don't know if I see that. I don't know if I see them spending big on another massive contract. Keep in mind, you already have massive contracts handed out to Justin Upton, Mike Trout, and Albert Pujols. And Andrelton Simmons is fairly sizable, as is Cole Calhoun's, even though he's only signed for one more season. Do you want to break the bank for those guys? And the reason the Astros are so good and going to be for the foreseeable future is they called up all of these guys from within their system. You have them under team control early on in their careers, and they've produced. They have reaped the rewards of bottoming out in 2014 and building all of these guys up for this sort of run. And I'm not saying I don't want the Angels to go full rebuild, because you can't. You have Mike Trout on the roster. I know the Angels are doing the best they can, but you're between a rock and a hard place, man. You're trying to contend with a roster that is clearly behind the Houston Astros within your division and is going to be, for the most part, no matter what you do in the next year or two, in my opinion. I don't see the flurry of moves that can happen that puts the Angels past the Astros anytime soon. But you also can't bottom out. You can't go full-scale rebuild, because any full-scale rebuild begins with trading Mike Trout. A little bit of a depressing start to your week, I admit, but those are the facts. Are you content as an Angels fan with contending for a wild card spot and seeing what happens in the playoffs? Maybe. And I'll admit, I am too. But I just wanted to point out that the path to contention in 2019 and 2020 still lies in just the wild card spot for the Angels, no matter what they do this offseason. You want to sponsor the show? Know someone that does? Hit me up, LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. Rates reasonable. Duh. Orange County, Southern California business owners, or friends of business owners, family members of business owners, hit me up. You got a tuned in, passionate fan base, all Angels fans here, LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. Coming up, your studs and duds of the weekend after these messages. Studs and duds of the weekend coming at ya.
Studs, duds, and duds. Duds from the weekend that was.
You know, hard to find too many studs from this past weekend. All of the studs pretty much lie in Sunday's game, right? I mean, you get home runs from Justin Upton, Cole Calhoun, Mike Trout, Ian Kinsler. What I want to point out, too, this went largely unnoticed, but last night, or yesterday afternoon, was the first time that Mike Trout brought in a runner other than himself for an RBI since June 22nd. June 22nd. That's incredible. I didn't notice that. But the move down in the number three spot, right, was supposed to negate all of that. He's supposed to get more opportunities, and he has gotten opportunities. He's just getting walked more often. And the Angels need to find a plan to circumvent that. Justin Upton has been hitting behind Mike Trout all season. He's been serviceable in that role. For what the Angels wanted him to be in the contract they gave him, that's what I mean by serviceable. Hitting 250, now at 20 home runs as well. And 56 RBIs, not too shabby. He's probably going to end up somewhere around 30 RBIs and somewhere, or 30 home runs and 90 plus RBIs, which isn't bad. When you have Mike Trout in front of you, though, you got to produce more often than not. I remember one of you guys listening in, I think it was Edward, one of our guys here on the show. He pointed out the struggles of Justin Upton, or at least brought them to light for this podcast. And he struggles with runners in scoring position. Batting average well below the normal average of 253. That's not going to cut it. I don't know where that answer is during the offseason either. Is it Mike Moustakas? Maybe. He's going to be a free agent. Worth keeping an eye on, in my opinion. I say go for it. I wasn't as big on Mike Moustakas, but this isn't an offseason podcast. This is studs and duds. Studs and duds. Offensive performance on Sunday, no doubt, as a whole. But Friday and Saturday, this is that inconsistency I'm talking about. That's absolutely maddening. You get shut out on Saturday. The defense commits three errors. You go 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position. The major dud and hole in the lineup all weekend was the catcher spot. Martin Maldonado went 0-for-7 Friday and Saturday. Jose Briseño put in on Sunday 0-for-4. So the catcher spot, the number 8 spot in the order, goes 0-for-11. I'm not asking your number 8 hitter or Briseño or Maldonado to be world beaters, but you can't have that. You can't have an 0-for-11 performance with 6 strikeouts. That just can't happen. You got to be more productive than that. Jabari Blash goes 0-for-2. He has not produced at the major league level like I think we all thought. I remember when we were all excited to see Jabari Blash. I remember I was in Seattle for that series up there, 3 games in early May. It was over Cinco de Mayo weekend, actually. And Jabari Blash got called up. I was pumped to see him. I know a lot of you guys were talking about it because this is the solution, right, to the right field woes. This is why we got Jabari Blash for a depth piece so he can step up and maybe the Angels find a diamond in the rough. No, not happening. He goes 0-for-2 on Friday, albeit he was facing Dallas Keuchel. But nonetheless, bullpen performs well. Pitching staff performed, for the most part, fairly well. Yeah, they get roughed up on Saturday. Nick Tropiano in his first start back only gives up 2 runs, one of them earned, but a little erratic with 4 walks as well. And then the bullpen, Jose Alvarez and Noe Ramirez, gets roughed up in particular. Cole Calhoun went 0-for-3 on Saturday before having a big day on Sunday. It's just the inconsistency is a major dud, right? And David Fletcher also has a nice 3-hit game to bounce back. I think he was starting to struggle there for the last week and a half or so. Are we all okay with me saying that he was struggling? I know it's big-time Fletch time on this podcast, especially with Lucas as well. Him and I are both big Fletch guys, absolutely, especially if you're talking about him over Valbuena. Speaking of Valbuena, He went 1-for-7 this weekend. So the inconsistency in the offense is continuing to be the story of this season. It is the reason why the Angels have been unable to match anything close of their 13-3 start. And it's plagued them. It's plagued them all season long. This offense was supposed to be the bread and butter of this season. Maybe things turn around with Albert Pujols expected to be activated from the disabled list and coming back ahead of this White Sox series, but hasn't been there. The inconsistency continues to be a major dud. All right, let's finish up our show real quick, running out of time here, with a preview of the upcoming series against the White Sox after these messages. Angels hosting the Chicago White Sox for 4 games Monday through Thursday to get themselves ready for a big series over the weekend against the Seattle Mariners. I don't want to say I expect or the Angels need a sweep, but I expect and the Angels need a sweep. You're playing the 34-64 White Sox, and if you have, remember what we were saying, right? The Angels, during the All-Star break, I said that the Angels had to go on an Oakland A's type run. The A's went on that 21-6 run heading into the All-Star break, and it's vaulted them into playoff contention. The Angels need a similar run, and I think if it's going to happen, it has to happen here. You get the Chicago White Sox, Lucas Giolito against Jaime Barria on Monday. Barria expected to get the call-up from the minor leagues ahead of this start. Lucas Giolito topping the AL in walks and ranking second in the bigs in that category before the break. Showing signs of development his last 4 starts, does have a 3.6 ERA in those 4, and he's one of the more highly touted guys in the entire White Sox roster. They're big on him moving forward, and the talent is certainly there. He's starting to put it together. But again, 6.18 ERA, let's go offense, build off of that start from Sunday and pick up a victory. On Tuesday, Felix Peña against Carlos Rodon for the White Sox. Rodon certainly with the advantage there. Peña's first start of the second half, going to be his first career appearance against the White Sox. He last pitched on July 13th, giving up just 1 run over 4 innings against the Dodgers. So heavy bullpen game because Felix Peña just simply isn't that stretched out. And Rodon is on fire as well. That's going to be one of the more tougher outings or tougher games of this 4-game set. Then James Shields on the mound on Wednesday going up against Tyler Skaggs, arguably the best pitcher in the Angels rotation. Skaggs needs to bounce back from his performance against the Astros where he gave up 3 runs in those first 3 innings before settling in to finish with a quality start in 6 innings of work. And then lastly, Nick Tropiano against Dylan Covey for the White Sox. That one's fairly even, but for the most part, Angels got to take a sweep here. At the very, very least, something that I will be pleased with, that I will tolerate, is 3 out of 4, quite frankly, because we are in, it's crunch time. There's 62 games left in the season. We're at the 100-game mark, and the Angels are 50-50. They need to start winning games at a 66% or higher clip. They need to go on that Oakland-type run. You got to win 20 out of your next 25, 20 out of your next 27, something in that range. Give me something over these next 2 and 3 weeks. Build some momentum going into this Mariners series. And who knows? You put together a solid series against the weekend. Not only could you win, a couple things bounce your way. Maybe you get the sweep. Highly unlikely, no doubt, especially as the Mariners, they keep winning ball games. They just beat up on the White Sox. Angels got to take advantage this week. All right, guys, that's going to do it for today's episode. Getting you ready for the week. You can follow me on Twitter at OtherPatZajac. Most importantly, follow the show on at Locked On Angels there for all news regarding the show. Lucas will be back tomorrow to host his regularly scheduled Tuesday episode. And guys, be sure to subscribe to our podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play. Leave us an awesome review. Tell us how we're doing. Slide into our DMs. Love interacting with you guys. Have a great week. Take it easy. Peace.